T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bruins Blues. WEEI's coverage of the Stanley Cup Final is brought to you by your New England Toyota dealers and Atlantic Power Cleaning.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
See, I'm afraid to do it, Luke, because I want
to go Blues.
But I want the Bruins to win.
The Bruins are winning tonight.
Number 10 is passion.
Number 10.
No disrespect to the nice sports fans of St. Louis, but we've dealt with them in the past.
Oh, they are, please.
It is not quite the same passionate fan base.
Straight away, Bullmeister. Slap shot, he scores!
Chittering the shit, he scores!
Nice second goal. There seemed to be some miscommunication there.
Alex Pietrangelo!
Look at that, eh? Pietrangelo, way to go, GTHL guy.
7.9 seconds to go in the first period, and the Blues have taken a 2-0 lead in Boston.
Tough to say because I haven't seen the replay yet.
Brad Marchand wanted to make a line change. He got caught in no man's land.
What the world is that?
We had a hell of a year. Came very close, so.
And it's been a blast.
We're a hell of a group. We came together.
Love coming to work every day.
I love every guy on this team.
And we've become friends.
Counting the seconds down in St. Louis. Because after 52 years, the St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
And I don't think anybody's leaving the building tonight, unfortunately, in our locker room saying they put their best foot forward.
Right now.
Well, that sucked. But it's designed to suck when you get eliminated.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
By the way, Dale got it all wrong. All wrong, and I got it all right. And but this passion of the fans.
What are you talking about?
We're talking they filled the arena out there in St. Louis last night.
You had the Bruins in six.
Yeah. Nobody got it right.
Who had last night's game? Who called last night's game? I gave you St. Louis last night.
Oh, well, hold on. Wait a second.
I told you St. Louis last night. I gave you the score, 3-2. I was a little off on the score.
Wait a second. So you we said we weren't doing that again.
Doing what?
We weren't going to, whatever decision, whatever prediction you made before the series started, that's what you had to stick with.
Got to alter.
So even though I
said teaching me how to
Bruins in four, I wasn't going to change my mind. It was going to be Bruins in
four.
Whatever.
You changed your so-called news report last week 5 times.
Changed it, but that's different. That's based on new information from my sources.
No,
multiple sources.
Forward.
You were right. Greslick was in. Game 7.
I also said he was going to score a goal.
But Dale, talking about the passion of the fans, is anybody questioning the passion of the St. Louis fans, if anything? And Dale even commented on it today. Where are the Boston fans in the second and third period? They were quiet over at the TD Garden.
Nothing to cheer about.
I don't blame them.
Boring
game. They looked at it and they saw reality. They saw reality.
But Dale also said yesterday, and I agree with him, it is a different crowd. Oh, and so you just squeeze out that Bruin fan. You're going to spend $3,000 for a ticket? That's only for one, by the way. I think that played a role in it.
How many beers you can buy for $3,000?
But really, it was more about the game itself. I mean, the first period, I felt like it was there. The energy was in the building.
Yes.
They were controlling the game.
Yes.
After that first goal. See, that's the other thing. And you've been to these crowds in Boston. We've won an awful lot. But fans get nervous. And when they get nervous, they get quiet. If they scored the first goal, you know, that place might have erupted. You know, or if they scored and made it 2-1, you know, trailing 2-1, it would have erupted. But they never gave them anything. So it was a very nervous crowd. Who sat there and was like, oh, damn. Controlled the whole first period. Gave up the first goal. 8 seconds to go. They scored the second one. That creates a very quiet crowd.
Yeah, Marchand's mistake because he left the ice, okay? So that was on him. But I agree. If it's 1-0, you're only down 1-0, you can go in between periods and you can sit there and feel pretty confident. We can get right back in this thing because we're all playing them, right? In the first period. Instead, you're down 2-0. You don't think that affects the players in that in the dressing room?
It affects the fan base.
It affects the fans
for 20-25 minutes.
Yes,
between periods.
Yes,
if it's 1-0, you control the play. You come out in the second period, the crowd's going nuts.
Right, they weren't.
But for 20 minutes, 25, whatever it is between periods, they're sitting there going, "That's it."
Well, plus it was so. I mean, imagine if you're one of the guys on the team and you're sitting there going, "You got all these shots." I mean, it was 12-4. Okay, and the Blues had 4 shots, and 2 of them were goals. And I think the first two shots were actually actual goals.
So what was his goals against percentage?
So you're sitting there going, wow, I mean, you're putting out, you're dominating, you're up and down, your shots on net, you're cycling like crazy, and you're not getting any reward for it.
You're just
getting frustrated. And then, oh, by the way, you're, okay, fine. This is get this period out of the way. Let's be done. And sure enough, Marchand has a brain cramp. He doesn't know what's going on, and you end up giving up another one as a team. So it's 2-0 going in to intermission.
See, unfortunately,
what a kick to the gonads. When
you get in a game seven, things get magnified, and you have a tendency to forget what happened in the previous six because of what you see in game seven. So when you look at game seven, and not like Marchand, that first line underperformed the whole time. It's the reason why they didn't win the cup. You know, for seven games, the first line didn't show up. But for specifically for Game 7, if you want to go, say, blame pie, to me the majority goes on Brad Marchand. And before the final seconds, that shot that Binnington saved that everybody is showing and how great he is when he slid over to his right and he kind of caught it almost in between his arm, Brad Marchand, that was not a one-timer from Brad Marchand.
No.
He caught that stick and he took a wrist shot. He caught the puck, took a wrist shot. Wasn't a one-timer. He took his time. The entire right side of that net was wide open, especially up top, to the right of him. And he shot it more to the middle and gave Binnington, who was sliding over, an opportunity to stop that puck. That shot was a bad shot from Brad Marchand. At the end of the period, it was inexcusable.
Yeah. See, I think we can look at a lot of these different things, and certainly you could look at how good Jordan Binnington was last night, because Tukares wasn't bad. The problem is legacy is still not going to change because he did not win a Stanley Cup, but he wasn't bad last night. Binnington certainly was better. Doc Hamburg actually came up with a funny line after they had the ad with the walrus in the goal, and he told Binnington is the walrus tonight. Did you hear that line?
Yeah, but if you're talking about Tukares,
funny line.
Because he's been such a... You know, he's been such a big part of the discussion since the playoffs started. Do you think he's any better, in a better position or a worse position? He's right where he's at.
Reputation does not change.
The same,
yes.
Right? Even though he played great, and he was probably one of the main reasons why you got to where you got to.
Yep.
And if you're going to start doing the whole blame pie thing, I would say, all right, who's more to blame? Tukaras for giving up that second goal with like 8 seconds left, or Brad Marchand putting him in that position in the first place?
Marchand, but your whole first line during the series, because they were clearly outplayed because the Blues came out and just beat the crap out of them.
That was a game-saving goal that he didn't make.
Yes.
And I would agree that, you know, I know everybody in print is anticipating what sports talk radio is going to say.
Well, they're all crying.
Blame him and everything else. You're realistic about it. The guy was outstanding. It's the reason why you were there. All right? The fact is, he hasn't won a cup as a starting goal. It's a fact. That Pietrangelo goal, that second one, I would have liked to have seen him made that. That was a game-saving save that he did not make. And because of it, the game was over. Was it his fault? No. Brad Marchand. Okay? And it wasn't even, I was showing you during that break, you know, Pastrnak and Bergeron are fighting for the puck. You know, Marchand dumps it back in. When they start fighting for the puck, Marchand's skating off the ice. They still have the puck in the blue zone. Pastrnak centers that puck to the slot, and Marchand's not there because he's going for a line change. And then he realizes, he spins around, he sees St. Louis has the puck because he's not there to get the puck. So rather than going that line change, Johansson jumps back into the bench because it should have been a line change. But he decides not to.
He saw one guy.
So then he comes back onto the ice, takes a shot at Schwartz, misses him. Now he takes a line change. I mean, it's... God, unfortunately, there was about a 15-second just brain fart that cost him Game 7. Because once it went up 10-0, 2-0 rather...
2-0.
It felt like
10-0.
Seemed
like 10-0. Yeah,
10. I mean, once it was 2-0...
No, the way St. Louis
was over. They can just sit there and play defense, play prevent.
Right.
Plus
they control the puck.
They hunker down, that was it.
That's what they do. And, you know, you can say all you want about, well, they're not flat. They're not. They have trouble scoring. They're not real creative in the offensive end. But damn it, they're better than you. And their style of play just beat the crap out of you. But getting back to the situation with Tuukka Rask, if they had won that game, even if Tuukka was a little bit shaky, they had won that game.
6-5, they win.
They win, then we're talking totally different today about Tuukka Rask. He wins the Conn Smythe. Everything is changed.
He wins the Conn Smythe for giving up 5 goals?
Yeah. Yes.
Marchand led the league and led the team in points. You think he deserved it?
You know how many first-place votes he got for the Conn Smythe? 0. You know how many Jordan Binnington got? 5. So they're taking that one game, because Tuukka Rask was better in the overall series than Binnington was, but Binnington was great in Game 5, great in Game 7, two games here in Boston, and the writers gave him five votes, right? They're not giving him to Tuukka Rask.
You should have got more. But you should have won it.
But everything changes for Tuukka Rask if he wins that game last night. And the monkey's off his back. Instead, next season, what are people going to say? Can't depend on him.
I don't know if that would be it.
He's got to finish.
Sure they will.
I would say that the majority of the burden falls on the rest of the team. Falls on that perfection.
I'm not saying it's not going to fall on that first line.
Your first line, how arrogant.
How about your second
their
line?
Their name is the perfection.
How about David Krejci?
Line?
Where was he?
Like, give me a break.
Second, I can go through a list of guys.
Do you have a second line?
That's a good question. Jake DeBrusque.
So I would say that on a normal situation, yeah, you'd sit there and blame it all. But they got smoked. They got goose egg. And I'm not even going to give you the grizzly goal at the end when they pulled Tuukka Rask and it's not even close. That's not even the same.
Listen, when you
nobody cared at that point, the game was over.
When you rely on your number one line, and you've got the best number one line in the league and a pretty damn good second line, and in the Stanley Cup Finals, your third and fourth line outplays them, you're in trouble.
Their stars played better than your stars. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games.
Ooh.
They didn't do it.
Write that down.
They didn't do it.
Give it an open.
If you're
going to
sit there and like blame Rask and go through the first goal where it was
he wasn't good enough last night.
No, I'll agree with you on that.
He got outplayed last night when it was all on the line. He was terrific throughout the entire playoffs. When it was all on the line last night, did he give up a soft goal? No. But he did not stop everything in sight. Jordan Binnington stood on his head last night and stopped everything in sight, especially in that first period when the Bruins were exploding.
They needed the Pietrangelo goal.
Yeah.
Shot. So Tuukka, for him, it's about finishing. It's about winning a cup. It's not about winning a playoff game. He's done that before. He's been outstanding. He was outstanding coming into this cup, and he was very good in the Stanley Cup. But it's sort of like David Price winning a playoff game.
Yeah.
So if Price went out there and threw eight innings, two runs, three hits, and lost 2-1, we'd be sitting there saying, he threw very well. He threw great. Still lost the game.
I'm sorry.
Still doesn't ever win. Fair or not. You know, it's just the reality of it. Factually, he has not finished the job. And again, I go back to that Pietrangelo goal with 8 seconds to go in his first period. That's where I would have liked to see Tuukka just continue the run that he's been on and stop a point-blank goal. Great opportunity. I get it. But I would have liked to have seen that.
So
I think
everybody would. So why do we have the hockey media who is... Because we're not beating up Tuukka Rask. Tuukka Rask was terrific in the playoffs. They don't get to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final without Tuukka Rask.
Oh, are they beating up Brad Marchand today?
They should be beating him up.
I know, but he had a great year.
Yeah, they should be beating him up. But he didn't make the plays when you needed to, when it was on the line.
Thank you.
We sit here and talk about Tom Brady. He doesn't screw up at the end of these games. Okay, and we sit there and applaud him. If he screwed up at the end of these games, we wouldn't be sitting there praising him.
It's funny because you mentioned Tom Brady. Go back to the Philadelphia, the second Philly, the Philly-Philly special, game, where he has the opportunity to drive them down the field. And Shaq Mason or Marcus Cannon gave up the inside on a rush and flush Brady from the pocket and end up hitting his elbow as he was throwing. And it's still, Brady should have gotten out of the jam.
Right.
Brady should have used his mobility.
Right.
Brady fumbled.
Right.
It's his fault.
Bottom line,
it's his fault.
Brady fumbled.
He doesn't play defense. He's not a wide receiver, and he's not an offensive lineman. Oh, well, he should have gotten rid of the ball. Should have seen it. So that's the same thing.
But Dale was doing it last night. Dale was, getting out in front of this because he was seeing it on Twitter. It's the normal reaction. People hear, what do they chant, Dale, for the last month? We want the cup. We want the cup. And then Tuukka's not good enough in Game 7. Brad Marchand not good enough in Game 7.
Boston
and you don't get the cup.
The narrative has already begun, if you look at social media. The narrative that the Bruins will never win with Tuukka Rask in goal.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's be honest. If you waited 24 games to trot that bromide out, you've got to look at your life and reassess where you're going. He was terrific throughout these playoffs.
You can't.
Okay. Let's all reassess our life.
There's a huge difference to the idiot
boxers
on social
or briefs.
Media.
I got to change. I got to think about this. Come on.
That says that, Tuukka sucks.
Nobody's saying that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that guy's a fool.
But you see, he just said
Tuca choked.
They can't win with Tuca. They haven't won with Tuca. That's the problem, Dale. Nobody's saying they can't. Maybe next year they win with Tuca. Maybe he's better in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoff.
He's such an easy target, though. He's always first in line when it comes to blame pie.
So
when it comes to blame
quarterbacks,
pie,
yeah, just, pitchers, so David Price.
Yeah, it's just the way it is.
Him.
It is the way it is. Let's just say he did stand on his head and he stopped every single freaking puck that came his way. It's 0-0 in the first, 0-0 in the second, and sure enough, now they're panicked because now the Blues have to score. They have to actually, they have to force the issue instead of playing defense.
That second goal ended
advantage.
The game.
Yeah.
Ended the game.
No, that's on Brad Marchand.
The first period, this game was over. Binnington was great.
Yep.
Bruins were not. I mean, as far as some of the scoring chances were great, but they didn't finish him. I think it was the Nordstrom one, too, where he couldn't get it up in the air.
Yes.
Krejci had a nice rush in front of him, and, he made a great stop on that one. The Marchand one, I would say, is a bad shot because he had the puck on his stick for a while. He had an open net, and he missed it. That last 8 seconds ended that game. You're not going to beat that team down 2-0 the way they play.
Yeah, but here's the difference. We praise athletes. Malcolm Butler, we go through these when they make phenomenal plays when everything is on the line. And then when a guy doesn't make the plays, enough plays, to win with everything's on the line, there are people that are sitting there going, we have to be protective. Don't blame them. I'm not sitting here telling you that, and I already said it, without Tuukka Rask, they don't get to Game 7.
Tuukka Rask is the easiest guy to throw
under
the bus.
Okay, and I get it.
He is.
Those are the main focus. But who stood on his head last night? Jordan Binnington did.
Yeah, he'll play.
We sat here during the series and we said, Bennington's close. He's close to cracking. How many times did we say that?
I hate it when you saw the first 5 minutes. When they started peppering him, he's making these saves. You're like, oh, no.
He's just getting
more confident. Especially when they couldn't get to the rebounds. Yeah, there were rebounds.
Meanwhile, Tuca's down there, 16 and a half minutes, hasn't seen a shot.
Right.
Next thing you know, it's like the tip.
He's falling asleep down there.
Second shot of the game. It's a goal. But the Bruins losing Game 7. Pierre LeBrun. Okay, and Scott Burnside of The Athletic put out a report card for the Stanley Cup. So the Bruins report card, Tuukka Rask, A+. He's outstanding. Okay, he's very good. Probably would have given him an A because I wanted the Pietrangelo save, but that's all right. Torrey Krug, A+. Corrali, Carlo, both A's. Coyle, Johansson, Nordstrom, B+. Chara, Achari.
Nine
guys got grades before you got to your best players.
Yeah.
As far as your top six forwards go.
Yeah.
Pastrnak was next, then Marchand, and it's nine guys.
That's why you didn't win, Lou.
That's why you didn't win. Your first line didn't show up. Your second line actually never showed up in, 24 games, however long this postseason was. They never showed up. Your first line didn't either. Marchand had some obviously visible, costly mistakes. Pastrnak was awful with the puck. He couldn't keep the puck. I think a couple times he swung and missed a few shots.
He was intimidated. He was afraid.
He was awful.
Yeah. He knew they were coming and taking the body and not going for the
puck. But even with that, though, I refuse to believe what my friend DJ Bean, part of the Wolfpack, by the way.
He is, so be careful what you say.
We like DJ.
Be careful what you say.
Unfortunately for the Bruins, this is his headline. Unfortunately for the Bruins, this was a Stanley Cup choke. I refuse to call this a choke. This is not a choke. If the Bruins are up 3-0, Philadelphia in 2010, that's a choke. Up 3-0, up 3-0 in Game 7. That's a choke. The Yankees, that's a choke. Tampa in 04. Tampa Bay this year, losing in the first round in a sweep, that's a choke.
Atlanta, 28-3, that's a choke.
That's a choke. This team, I don't care if you thought that they should have won the Cup if they were the better team. It wasn't a one game. It was seven. And I would say it was extremely even matched. And then when it's all said and done, St. Louis was the better team. You were down 3-2. You went up there and you won. You came back here. You laid an egg in Game 7. This is not a choke. You just lost. You lost to a team that played better. And I know that's hard for people around here to understand because you've won so much in the past. This was not a choke. Another team beat you. And it happens once in a while.
So if the main goal of a goalie is to bail out his team while they were struggling, Binnington did it, and Tuukka Rask did not.
Pietrangelo's the shot he should have saved.
But either way, it doesn't matter. Like, you can go through Binnington and say, I can't believe that one. He stopped that one. Whatever. But if that's the definition we're going by as far as choking, especially in regards to the goalie, then he did.
So I think what he's doing and what a lot of people are doing is they're looking at how they assess this thing
their
before the series began.
Assessment.
That's correct. So before the series began, everybody had the Bruins in 4, Bruins in 5, and that was it. Nobody had them to be a long series. Very few people did. And so what he's doing now is he's reassessing it and going, oh, my God, not only was this a long series when we all thought it was going to be a short series, nobody thought St. Louis was anywhere close to an equal of the Bruins, but they end up losing this thing, and they lose 3 of these games on their home ice. They could have lost that 4th one on their home ice. Therefore, I'm bringing out the C word.
Well,
the almighty C word.
So their own personal assessment of the series. Huge advantage.
That's what
Cassidy over Berube. Was it? Are we sure about that? Is it because you didn't know Berube? You didn't follow him? You followed Cassidy all year long? Cassidy's a great coach. We sure Berube's not? Guy just won a Stanley Cup.
No, and it's obvious.
And he took that team over midway through the season when they were crappy, and right. Now look where he brought them. So at least
and it's obvious they play the way he played as a player. So his fingerprints are all
and
over
his
that
comments
team.
After Game 3 might have changed Game 4 and Game 5. Give him a check mark.
Certainly did.
Clear advantage at goalie.
Yes.
Was there?
Should have got a Conn Smythe photo too.
But I'm just saying, all these. So just because your assessment of how this series was supposed to go, mine. Assessment of how this series is supposed to go, just because it didn't come true doesn't mean that team choked.
Well, that's what it is, Doug.
Your assessment was horse bleep.
Well, and the other just thing like is mine. That, and the other thing is that some of the things that we talked about yesterday, as far as okay, what has to happen. So we all said that the goalie had to play. Whoever's goalie plays the best is going to win. Binnington played better than Rask. We also said that the refs, okay, depending on whether they swallowed their whistle or not. It would benefit the Blues more because they would try to get away with things. I thought the refs played no role in this whatsoever. Only one penalty. It was because of a delay of game. The guy throws the puck out of the arena, and next thing you know, but there was no dirty plays. The refs didn't have to swallow their whistle because there was really nothing to do. They were just playing.
I'm not debating that with you. I'm saying that was an advantage for St. Louis because the Bruins, people kept on talking during the series. They don't understand it. How are the Bruins going to lose this series? Because the goal differential is in the Bruins' favor. Yeah, when you add in power play opportunities. If you're going 5-on-5, St. Louis is scoring more goals than you are.
But I would even say there wasn't any dirty plays. They didn't.
It doesn't make a difference. Bruins need to have the extra man.
So regardless, they need it.
Exactly.
They needed the Blues to play rough and tumble, and they needed the refs to call it.
The Blues are a better 5-on-5 team than the Bruins are. It's pretty obvious in this series they outscored him 5-on-5. They're a better 5-on-5 team. But we get 2 reactions though from the Bruins toadies. I like to call them. Matter of fact, if anything,
you like to call them toadies?
No, I like to call them the black and golders. So like we call the green teamers,
green
the black
teamers.
And gold golders. Teamers,
okay.
Or the gold teamers. They are more sensitive than I think what we heard from the green teamers this year. Some of the green teamers came out, and they were pretty honest about what happened to the Celtics there at the end. I think today we're getting either one or the other. We're going overboard, and we're bringing out the C word and saying they choked. Or we're doing the other. We're crying ourselves
a lot of tears.
Because we already were celebrating. We already had the cup won. I think after Game 6... there were a lot of these people that thought it was over.
Yeah.
There's no way you're losing Game 7, and yet you weren't paying attention if you were covering this team, because look at the entire series. Every game changed dramatically. Just when you thought you had figured out what was going on, the very next game, it all changes again. And that's what happened through this entire series. And if you're following that, there was some rhyme or reason to it. But that's what I think they did. And they, oh my God, and they're crying.
Yeah,
about it.
Well, you know what? They're tired. They're exhausted. A lot of these beat writers, especially, they put a lot of effort, put a lot of man hours into this. Had to watch a lot of games.
I heard that.
Whoa, no!
I heard that.
Come with a new topic 3 days later.
All right, let's get to some of these phone calls. Here's Brian in the car. Hello, Brian in the car. Loud car. Brian.
How are you?
Good.
Good, Christian Lou.
What's up,
Glenn? I don't agree with you all the time, but first of all, this isn't Rask's fault. If you look at the series, he played a hell of a series, and some of the pucks were redirected last night for goals. The one shot at the St. Louis Golden were right at him. Marshawn is a stiff.
Who was the better? I agree with everything you just said, Brian.
He made a rookie mistake in the first period with 7 seconds left. That's a rookie mistake. Marshawn's a stiff. He needs to go. He needs to be traded.
This is the extreme we're discussing, Brian. I understand that you're very upset. I think that he is the number one, as far as blame pie goes, individual in this game. I would agree. Doesn't need to go anywhere. He's still a very good player.
He's not going anywhere.
He's crying like a baby, Lou. You saw the net where he had an open shot. He had the whole side of the net to shoot. And what does he do? He shoots it right at the goalie. I mean, come on.
Yeah, okay. You're going to get on him for crying, for being upset, for losing Game 7 of the Stanley Cup?
Well, listen.
Brian, you'd be a freaking
You're down
puddle.
By the blue line, and you make a you go to the bench for a shift change, and the other players down there with the
Maybe that's part of
Come
it. Maybe
on,
that's why
the mistake.
That's why the emotion maybe came out. I was involved in a very emotional Game 7 in 03. I'm not going to fault anybody that was crying in our locker room.
Did you cry, Lou?
I sure did.
Wow.
I want to go to a World Series. It wasn't even Game 7 of the World Series.
Hold on, we got some tape.
It sounded like rock. Sure did. I don't blame him for crying.
I don't.
I'm not looking to move on from the player.
I have trouble with the beat writers crying. I'm sorry. I got a little problem with
different.
That. A little problem with that.
Right about grown men crying in the locker room. of which I was one, probably.
I think some of these guys need some help right now. They need some counseling. Could be a side job for you.
Well, they got vacation.
Good stuff, yeah.
You can look forward to vacation.
Exactly. Here's Rob. Rob's in New Hampshire. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Uh-oh. It's the dreaded line 3.
Yeah, I told you, don't take line 3.
Line 3 is really...
Somehow you have to divert.
Well, I just want to hear the voice.
Anyone?
Hey, Rob!
Hi, guys.
There you go. See, just get rid of it. Rob, thank you for waiting, but
Every
we can't...
Time we go to
just
line
don't
three.
Take it. Put
it's
an X
Alvin
on that
the
thing.
Chipmunks.
Hi, guys.
Don't do it.
Jesus. John's in Western Massachusetts. Hey, John.
Hello, boys.
There it is.
Hello, John.
Well, here's what I'm saying. They predicted that, or at least the line saying that the Bruins have a really good chance to get back to the Cup next year.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Okay.
Does anybody think the Bruins, after getting past Toronto, would have beaten the Tampa Bay Lightning in the second round?
We don't know.
I seriously doubt it. And the way everything broke for the Bruins perfectly, this was their golden opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. I think the reason why they were so emotional last night was because they saw it just completely evaporate out of their eyes.
I think there's something to that.
Well, I would say this, John, though, but real quick, the chances as far as odds go, so Tampa Bay is the favorite to win the Cup.
Yes.
Okay. The Bruins are the second favorite in the Eastern Conference, okay? So someone's got to be. Whoever it is probably doesn't have that much of a chance. People, once again, will say Tampa will represent the Eastern Conference, but they're the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, that's true. But who would have saw that the other conference number one team, they get bounced in the first round too? See how everything just kind of broke perfectly for them for this season? I needed that cup, and I needed it now because I can't count on it next year.
Well, I would agree.
Yeah, I would say.
This is kind of. I know this is hard for people in Boston to understand, but yes, there's a chance that your team might not win a championship next year.
Or the year after,
but it's
the
like,
year after.
It's like, I don't know if they can win it next year. Yeah. Odds are they're not.
Yeah.
Odds are, I shouldn't say the odds are the Pats aren't, because you never know. The odds are, I'd bet on every team not to win a championship.
Safe to say
it's not easy to do.
Yeah, the road's going to be tougher next year. They went through one 100-point team this year, and that was Toronto, right? And they were right there at 100 or 101, weren't they? Oh, here's the great Manabula.
Who?
Nanabula. Nanabula in Brockton.
Nanabula.
He's an old Bruins rapper. Nanabula.
He's got his radio on. He likes to, he
Nanabula.
He likes to listen to his radio. Okay, he fell asleep again.
Jesus.
And here's the thing.
Tell him to turn his radio down.
That was not line three.
That was line two.
That was line two.
So it could be that it's infected now, and three is...
Oh, my God. One, they're after you. You're next.
When are they going to fix the phones? Is anybody talking to them?
What are you talking about?
Fix the phones. I mean, it's line three. They can't fix it? I mean, there aren't people that actually do this, like, that fix phones?
Well, no, because if we fix a microphone's going to stop working. And then when we fix the microphone, the computers go down. And then when we fix the computers, the phones will break again. So we're in, like, kind of a happy holding place
Okay.
now.
All right. Okay.
That's still good.
Unbelievable. So we keep on going to line three, and we hear somebody that sounds like a chipmunk, you know? Or Reamer.
Is there any way you can funnel them away from line three? I mean, that would be the best.
We have extra lines.
You want to prank the show, and we'll put you on line three when we just leave you there on hold.
So now go back to one.
Can we go back to Nunnabulla that we have? No, we don't. It's phones are all screwed up now.
Tyler's yelling at him right now.
Well, why don't you queue up the Celtics? Because it looks like all hell's breaking loose.
All hell is breaking loose with the Boston Celtics. Let me just hit Nunnabulla quickly.
Is that
hello?
Yeah, Glenn.
Nunnabulla?
I'm in mourning. I'm crying.
Okay.
You don't get these chances. You don't get this opportunity. You don't get this opportunity, Glenn.
Nunnabulla.
You don't get these chances.
You don't.
We blew it. I'm done.
Okay. You're done.
Okay, Nunnabulla. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ty Anderson you. Right there in line.
There you go.
Line one.
A blast.
All right, why don't we do this? We're going to get to the Celtics, the latest stuff on Kyrie Irving and the Celtics' pursuit of Anthony Davis, because there's some movement here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
931-0-93-7, and you win a couple of tickets to see the Red Sox.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And you can call the game.
You cannot call the game.
See,
you know, there's legality involved in this
First
stuff,
of all,
you know?
that's the giveaway we really need to do.
You need a lawyer here with
no,
you every
day. No,
that's
what we need to do.
No,
so,
they can't call a game.
What do they call one inning?
Mabel trip, a visit to the booth.
Boring. No, okay, I want to call. Listen, okay, the Jimmy Fund telephone's coming up. We have all these auction items. How cool would it be? Because do you ever do this in high school and college? Sometimes they do these auction items, and if it's a blowout, they'll allow somebody to call the offensive plays, right? You get to call one series.
What if it's not a blowout?
Well, then you got to come back for the next game. There's a million games, so they come up there.
That's
maybe
a much better auction item for, say, the Jimmy Fund.
Fifth inning.
Call
right?
a game with Joe.
Who wants
a game? And somebody.
Whoa. You get to go to the booth. Oh, look, okay. That's a microphone. Oh, there's Joe over there. Hey, Lou, wave. How you doing?
Grass is beautiful.
I'm calling the game.
Like the
look
walrus.
At me. I'm working.
People that come up and get very
excited.
No, you
want them to call it.
They like the view from the booth.
You know what he's doing?
One batter.
You know what he's doing?
One batter. How about one batter?
He's going to set somebody up. Person's going to show up, see Joe there, push Joe down on the floor, take off the microphone.
One batter.
Second inning.
That would be fun. One batter.
All right, this portion of the program being brought to you by Rhino Shield. Let's get to the Celtics story. We can tell you this. You've already heard this. He's parted ways with Jeff Welcher, his present agent.
Who's he?
He did good for him.
Oh, Kyrie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving.
So he's fired his agent.
He's signing with Roc Nation, which is Jay-Z's group. And here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that this does not, and people are tying it in with the Brooklyn Nets. It really has nothing to do with the Brooklyn Nets. I don't even think Jay-Z has any interest in the Brooklyn Nets anymore, other than he lives there, right? This is more of what the Celtics heard a year ago when Kyrie was all excited and he went before the fans and he said he was coming back. And that is, he wanted support from whatever team he signed with to help him out with marketing and branding his image and allowing him to expand more into the entertainment industry, which most of these NBA players seem to be doing. So I think that, and from what I'm hearing, that is what this connection is with Jay-Z. Now, does it mean he's going to stay with the Boston Celtics? No, the Brooklyn
Nets.
So
you're not reading into it whatsoever?
No,
the,
I don't
so
think
the Kyrie
connection to the
I'm
Nets.
I'm hearing it's got nothing to do with the Nets.
Because right now I'm looking at odds.
Right.
Kyrie Irving?
Of course he's looking at odds.
Oh, yeah, well, Brooklyn Nets, -400. Easy favorite. Knicks, +200. Lakers? The Celtics are third favorite. +900. Brooklyn Nets are the favorite right now in the Knicks.
Right.
So a lot of people are trying to tie the Brooklyn connection with him moving over to Rock Nation.
I've heard it has nothing to do with that, but I've also heard that he does have great interest in the Nets, but a big part of that was he was going with Kevin Durant. So does he have the same interest now? Because we know these stories usually are delayed by 48, 72 hours when they pop out. does he still have the same interest, knowing now that Durant might sign there, but Durant's not playing there next year. And that means that Kyrie is going to have to play with a bunch of young kids on that team next year. And another guy in Russell who likes to handle and control the ball an awful lot. Wasn't that the same bitch he had with the young players, playing with these young players here in Boston? Wasn't that the issue?
Well, I think the issue, I'm sure that was one of the issues. Okay, so shifting gears, because I think the big topic is I think Kyrie Irving, it would be stupid not to return here. The reasons, whatever. I don't want to get into them again. The thing that I thought was interesting was the Rich Paul article in SI.
Yeah.
Rich Paul, I don't know if you have the quote in front of you, but basically warning the Celtics, saying, hey,
I got it for you. Here you go. Quote, they can trade for him, but it'll be for 1 year. Paul states that he confirmed that he has warned off Boston management. I mean, if the Celtics traded for Anthony Davis, we would go there.
We
would abide by our contractual obligations, and we would go into free agency in 2020. I've stated that to them. But in the event that he decides to walk away and you give away the assets, don't blame Rich Paul. Another guy that likes to talk in the third person.
The other thing, you're not saying that. He's saying.
So he also says, I can't say it no bigger. We are going into free agency in 2020. Anthony Davis will be in free agency. Now, this was directed towards the Celtics. Obviously, he's talking about Boston. So when you hear this, it's like, you know, it kind of gives you pause to like, holy smokes. This guy's coming out kind of strong. So you could say, okay, he's trying to direct his client somewhere. He doesn't want him to go to Boston.
Los Angeles.
So
Lakers.
Does he say the same thing about the Lakers when you bring up the Lakers? Because you would sit there and say, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, Los Angeles, you want to trade for him, go ahead. But if he doesn't stay, don't blame Rich Paul. No, a little different take. They asked him about the Lakers. He said, well, my thing is, take LeBron off the Lakers. Are the Lakers not a great destination for arguably a top two player that went to Kentucky, won a national championship, signed with Nike? For a team that had centers of Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Shaq? So now when you add LeBron, he said, that's the cherry on top. He's 34 years old, Davis is 26, so when LeBron's done playing, Anthony Davis' trade is still rolling. What better place to do it than in L.A.? So all of a sudden, so this is what he's got to say to the Celtics.
Go screw.
Yeah.
Hey, you can have him for, he's going to go for 1 year. But if he leaves, don't blame me.
Yeah, so
when it comes to the Lakers, though, he's like, oh, L.A. be a great place to
play. Because he's working for his other client.
Yeah.
He's working for LeBron James. Why don't we just do this right now? Because I know people love talking about Adam Silver. He's the one guy. You heard Gary Bettman going out on the ice last night. Boo, boo. And we know what happens with our wonderful commissioner of the National Football. We know what happens. Adam Silver gets standing ovations everywhere he goes.
Take it away,
and yet he's handing over the keys to the real commissioner of the National Basketball Association, and that's this guy, Rich Paul. And I'm not knocking Rich Paul. I think he's really smart. I think he's put himself in a powerful position where he's able to take players, move them around. His players, move them around. He's really the commissioner of the NBA. All the power in the world to him. Not good for the league.
Well, hold on, but Glenn, what's the difference between Rich Paul and Scott Boras? Scott Boras, I think it's a problem for Major League Baseball
based on how many clients
he has and how he jacks up the price and overestimates on everybody.
It's a different industry where Scott Boras is sitting there saying, okay, this team says they can give you five, this team says they can give you six, I can get you seven, they want to offer 20, I think I can get 24. There's no salary cap. When it comes to the NBA and you're an agent, like you can either get 5 years at this amount if you stay or 4 years at this amount if you leave. So every team is involved. So he can't wait and say, you know, I can get you 5 years in Boston, but I can get you 8 years in L.A., and I can get you 10 years in Toronto. Like, it doesn't work that way, which is something that Major League Baseball should really think about. But anyway, that's another topic. So what he's doing, like Boras would never sit there and say, you know, you could trade for, you know, Mookie Betts, so he could trade for J.D. Martinez. But I'm telling you right now, he's going to be a free agent.
He's threatening you.
He would not throw that out there. He would just say, listen, Boston will have I'll talk to Dave Dombrowski. Got a good relationship, but plenty of opportunity to keep the player. We'll talk to him. We'll have these discussions. This guy has come out and said, if he goes to Boston, he's going there for a year, and Danny Ainge, don't blame me. What if he's traded to L.A.? Well, who wouldn't want to play in L.A.? And I'm not doing this for LeBron, but if it helps LeBron out, so be it. But L.A.'s a great place to play.
That's why
this guy's directing trying to control a trade.
So if he really was devoted and making sure Anthony Davis is reached free agency. Okay, I want to be a free agent. Forget about a trade. Why in the world would any team trade for him?
Hopefully nobody does.
And this is so fine.
Because of his agent.
So LeBron James was going to be 35 in December. No Anthony Davis that year. Now you have 2 years left. So you're going to be 36 when Anthony Davis finally comes around to be able to play for you. Now he's a free agent. So you're going to get year 36 and 37, 2 years with LeBron James, with that squad. And who the hell knows what's going on in Golden State or any of these other teams? Maybe the Clippers make a huge move because they're already more advanced than you as far as their personnel and their coach. They just need some fans.
Yeah, but they're willing to win for short periods of time. They're not looking at a 5 or 6 year window.
Who isn't?
He isn't. Rich Paul's not. Because he's got opt-outs with all of his guys. Matter of fact, LeBron's got the longest contract of anybody, right? He has a 4 year deal.
You got 3 left.
Right. So, but what he's doing is he's moving guys in where you can win for a short window. We're even seeing this with Golden State. This probably is not going to be a much longer window than what they've had. And then he's going to make tons of money for these guys. He's going to move them into the entertainment industry, which he's very, very good at.
Promises.
Right, and that's what they're doing. But they're controlling. He's controlling everything.
So Rich Paul probably got Anthony Davis that MIB, you know, commercial where he's sitting out there for the movies, like, and he swats it because he's really an alien.
Exactly.
He's got really long arms.
You saw that long arm.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe anything that comes out of Rich Paul's
mouth.
And
I'll give you the other one. I believe that Danny Ainge, despite these comments by Rich Paul, still is interested in acquiring Anthony Davis.
Well, you had the report yesterday that, the Lakers and the Celtics are in trade talks with New Orleans. I think Winhurst actually said on ESPN that he believes that Griffin down in New Orleans is trying to use the Lakers to get more from Danny.
Smart.
And he is. Because like he said, hey, if he likes the Lakers deal, he would have already taken it.
Yeah. Well, they won't include Kuzma, and apparently Griffin wants Kuzma. Why not? That's a good young player.
Well, think about it this way. If you're Rich Paul and the Anthony Davis, so it's going to be a three-team trade. Your number one goal, because LeBron James brought you into this world, and he can probably take you out if he wants to, is to make sure you get as much talent as possible in L.A. Maybe that isn't Anthony Davis. Maybe Rich Paul is part of this whole little conspiracy where he's just trying to make sure the Lakers are served and the Pelicans are served, and he just wants Anthony Davis there to be happy in with the Celtics.
Okay, so if you're Danny Ainge, you're looking at it this way. Rich Paul is saying this. This is exactly pretty much what he said back at the trading deadline. Matter of fact, he got Anthony Davis's dad involved in it too, right? We're not going to Boston. He's not going to Boston. Because they want to direct him to L.A. But if they can't get him to L.A. and Danny Ainge makes the trade and gets Anthony Davis, as Rich Paul said, we'll go there and abide by the contract. The Lakers have to fill a spot with a maximum contract player. So they're going to fill somebody else, and that means at the end of next year, if the Lakers want Anthony Davis, a trade will be involved. So then Danny Ainge is looking at it and saying, maybe I have an asset here. So maybe what I can do is I have Anthony Davis, I'll do a sign and trade then and send him to the Lakers, but I'm going to get something back in return. So maybe if he gives away these assets, he's not losing out, as this guy says. We've already seen this, and who knows if he can convince Kyrie Irving to come back and sign Anthony Davis, and they have a great year next year. Who knows what happens? They're talking in Toronto right now. If the Raptors win this, the Kawhi Leonard's going to stay there and sign a long-term contract.
Makes sense.
We saw Paul George go to Oklahoma
City. There's history.
Who moves to Oklahoma City and stays there?
It doesn't matter, but there's history of those guys who get traded with 1 year left, re-signing with that team.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
What Kawhi does will tie into Anthony Davis. Because you've already got Paul George. You know, it's stupid to trade for Paul George. He's going to L.A. Wants to go back home, sign an extension with Oklahoma City. But why would Kawhi want to stay any longer in Toronto? Well, if Kawhi leaves, you'll forget about the Paul George scenario, and you'll say, look what happened to Kawhi. He went up there for a year and left. Do you want that to happen to Anthony Davis? But if Kawhi ends up staying, you're going to sit there and say, look, Kawhi went up there for a year and signed an extension with Toronto. Paul George went to Oklahoma City, signed an extension in Oklahoma City. Yeah, if Anthony Davis comes here, same thing's going to happen. When the reality is, you can't tie any of these guys individually because you don't know. They're all different individuals.
But next year is going to be a different marketplace because these teams can't sit here and hold money on the side. They can't do that.
They got a window to spend it now.
That's right. So you've got the Clippers have to spend money now. The Nets have to spend money. The Knicks have to spend money. The Lakers are going to fill that gap. You're not going to go into next year and say, you know what? We're not going to put anybody on the roster. We're going to come back with the same freaking team, not make the playoffs, and maybe next year we'll get Anthony Davis in free agency. When what? When LeBron's a year older?
Bunch of one-year deals that expire.
Right.
Maybe.
And by the way, I don't think Ainge has given up on Kyrie Irving. This according to Steve Bulpet today from the Boston Herald, who reports that the Celtics have not been ruled out yet by the Irving camp. According to multiple league sources, Kyrie Irving still has not removed the Celtics from consideration as he contemplates where to sign as a free agent, though the assumption around the NBA was he was looking to go elsewhere to join up with another marquee free agent. The concept was placed in some measure of doubt when Kevin Durant, the most prominent of the potential 2019 free agents, suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon Game 5 of the NBA Finals Monday night. He goes on to say that the Warriors star could opt in, Golden State could pay him to rehab, or on the other hand, maybe the Nets sign him. But does Kyrie really want to go to Brooklyn now and find out that he's going to play with all these kids for a year? And you don't know what you're going to get in 2020, what you're going to get with Kevin Durant? And now suddenly there's a lot of pressure on Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, the Kevin Durant's injury affected almost like five teams.
So if he knew that he could play with Anthony Davis for a year, and then maybe something else happens.
I think for some reason, I don't know how many clients Rich Paul has, but it feels like he may be over his head on this one. He may be kind of picking the wrong fight. It's like in a battle of wits. Who you got, Danny Ainge or Rich Paul?
Yeah, but I don't think he's planning a fight here. I think.
I didn't say a fight. Instead of battle. I did say fight earlier, but a battle of wits. So because all it is like everything. It's everything's fake news. Everything's posturing. Yes. Everything's setting you up.
Yes,
and
it's called leverage.
Yeah,
want.
Sure. Okay, yeah. So I mean, you know what they're doing in New Orleans. You know what the Lakers want.
Right.
So okay.
Well, Rich Paul's doing it for now because he wants his client, and his client wants to go play for the Lakers, as he did in the trading deadline. So he's going to try to do the same crap that he did at the trading deadline. Now, if it doesn't work, as he said, his agent, his client, is contractually obligated to whatever team he's traded to. He'll have to abide by it. He can put all the threats he wants, but it doesn't mean he's going to go through with the threats a year from now because the conditions might be totally different. We may be dealing with totally different set of circumstances. Kemba Walker, by the way, a lot of teams are talking about Kemba Walker. Walker's coming out now saying he loves it in Charlotte. He will take, you ready for this? He's eligible for a max contract down there. He was one of the all NBA players this past year. He's willing to take less money to stay in Charlotte.
Cross him off the list.
Less money. No. So, you know, we hear all these stories.
The smoke clears. It's a lot different than all the rumors that float.
Exactly. Jack Edwards, very depressed last night. Very, very depressed.
A lot of people were.
He was very depressed.
A lot of people were.
I don't know if he was crying or not. We'll find out next.
Keep up with the show.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On Twitter, at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show, at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
I know it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule a free pickup, 877-CARS-4KIDS or at carsforkids.com. It is Last Call for your Boston Bruins. And boy, I felt bad for our buddy Jack Edwards. Wow. Woo, despondent at the end last night.
Oh, they all were.
Mm.
Four wins is proof enough. There were two teams out there playing, and the St. Louis Blues proved to be the better of the two. Funny. So a heartfelt congratulations to the club that went from the pits of the NHL to Hockey Summit in about 6 months.
Nice gesture.
For Bruins fans, it is a pretty hard landing after such soaring achievement. But that bruise will fade as the years recede and wrinkles appear.
Our ass is sore.
For players, this temporary misery will recur. Occasional stabs to the heart for the rest of their lives. But, bonded by their shared sacrifice in this passionate pursuit, this Boston Bruins team may end up eventually stronger for having gone through this together. Because you don't learn who the best teammates are when the champagne is dripping off the ceiling of the dressing room. You learn who the best teammates are when the champagne is dripping off the ceiling of the dressing room.
Huh?
Right down the hall.
I like that. I like that. That's a life lesson for everybody right there.
You know for a fact that Jack had two different versions of this little.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, he had two. He had a victory little report. Sure. He had obviously had
Here's
this
the
one.
Thing. Yeah. Can I hear the victory one?
That's what I would like to know. What
I know it was done, right?
Yes,
I want to know what it was. Can we privately hear it?
Well, that sucked.
Well,
it was designed to suck.
That wasn't.
I prefer that type and that version. I don't like somber Jack. I like angry Jack. Hey, we'll prove you wrong, Jack. We'll be back next year, Jack.
You don't.
That's
learn
what I wanted.
Who the best teammates are when the champagne is dripping off the ceiling of the dressing room. You learn who the best teammates are
when
the champagne is dripping
where?
Off the ceiling.
See, I forgot
when
already.
When they destroy your house party and the champagne's dripping off the ceiling.
I would have taken that part out, Jack.
Yeah.
Through tough times, you find out the most
about people.
What a great idea. They're looking for a lift mornings. You know, you have a poet on. Wouldn't that be great? I wonder if anybody's ever done that in radio before. You
Jack
put a poet on morning
poet.
Drive. And you put them on and you see how it works, right?
I like that.
You can do that. I felt bad for Jack because he was interviewing Cassidy after the game, and it was like his head was down. He wouldn't even, like, look at him because he
Bruce,
just...
Bruce, on behalf of everybody in Nesson and in the entire Bruins tribe...
He's looking at the floor right
You provided Cassidy's a lot of thrills here. This year, and it comes at a sad time, but thank you very much for being a stand-up guy, setting the example, and your entire staff carrying that out. And to a man, everybody... on the Bruins roster has been sensational to us this season, and we look forward to happier times together.
And your kids died.
Cassidy looked uncomfortable. It was almost like, please, can I go home now? We just lost game 7.
You never lost the Super Bowl, did you?
Nope.
Wow. So you don't know that.
Don't know what that pain feels like, Lou. Yeah,
you don't know what it's like when the champagne's dripping
before.
Down
I mean,
hallway.
I have lost before, Lou. I just don't win all the time.
No, have you lost a playoff game?
Yes. Yeah, Denver. Yeah, but it's not the same.
No.
It's not the same. I haven't lost a championship game or anything like that.
Game
7,
0-3 was tough against the Yankees. That sucked. I mean, that sucked.
That's when you were crying to the tape we were playing earlier with you crying, right?
Yeah, it was me and Rock. Like,
was that you or was that Wakey? Oh! Was that Wakey?
It's actually
that was
him.
Everybody.
We keep acting like that's from a movie.
Lou, how do you feel about Okinawa?
hey, Lou, we're going to ship you off back to Pawtucket again. How do you feel? Lou, I'm sorry, man. Lou, I got a friend that lives in Venezuela. They're going to send you there. How do you feel about Venezuela?
You know what the worst part is? They shipped his ass out after that. The team went on to win the next year. He has no rings, and Mark C. Right. James is walking around here at Wiggy with a Red Sox.
The whole thing of like, you know, this
that's
will, it'll make them stronger.
Yeah.
You know, this is like Zarbano's theory. Yeah. You know, that 0-3 made 0-4 like great.
Made it worth
well,
it.
Yeah. Well,
made it that much
not
sweeter.
For those that were just on 0-3.
Yeah. For the fans.
Do you guys like the band Fish? I'm not a big fan. Do you like Fish?
I think I know one of their, it's a big Colts follower.
Okay, so they figured they would jump on the bandwagon with this St. Louis Blues thing with Gloria.
Yeah.
So this is Fish.
Just imagine. Hold on. This version sucks, by the way.
Sucks.
Imagine if you're at a Fish concert, you're completely polluted, stoned out of your mind. They start playing Gloria.
No, you know what?
You're like, what the hell?
Here's what I want.
Right? I mean, you're freaking out inside.
No, they're lemmings.
I
want they're psyched.
But I want the city of St. Louis to hold that song Gloria to their bosom. And I want them to play it.
Oh, they will.
Yes, I want them to play it.
But the parade on Saturday.
Not the Fish version. I want my girl Laura.
Be careful what you wish for. You love that song now, right?
Yes.
How do you feel about Sweet Caroline?
Oh, no.
Okay? Oh. Keep playing it. Because I've been at the ballpark the last couple nights when the bullpen's coughed that thing up in like the eighth inning.
And
what
really
am I
going to
do?
Like
I got to hear Sweet Caroline. So you know what? Play Gloria. All right? So when the Blues play between periods, when they give up six goals in the second, play it in the third.
Gloria.
Gloria. Everybody start dancing. Keep playing Gloria. Play it at the Cardinal games, too. Do the whole thing.
Play
careful what you wish for, people in St. Louis.
Play it at their football games. Oh, my bad. You don't have one.
Ooh, maybe you'll get one back someday. Ooh, it'll be a great moment.
It's a good song, though.
Sweet Caroline used to be a good song, too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You're right. They brought Neil Diamond in. Do you remember that? They actually had him do it, perform it.
They're not going to bring this girl in, are they? She's not coming down for breakfast.
Why did you go there?
What?
It's an old friend.
Dead.
Why are you doing that?
You got a twin sister.
She's no longer with us.
They should bring the twin sister out and have her sing it.
She's not
have a twin sister. What? She's got a twin.
I did not say she had a
twin. You lie. You said she had a twin sister.
I never said she had a twin. You made that up. Okay. You making stuff up now.
A glory in person.
All right, that's going to wrap up today's show. We'll be back, though, tomorrow. Yep. 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Baseball game tonight. Alex Cora will join us on the show tomorrow. Lou will not be part of the broadcast tonight, and we apologize to anybody who was expecting him to be there tonight because we promoted it all day long. But Lou's tired. He's worn out. We'll be back tomorrow, too. We're out of here.
Over. We suck. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.